Hi, everybody. Welcome to another podcast on Forsyth Sports 365. I'm your host, Greg Golden, and we are here with a Coach's Corner for you. We got a ball game coming up Friday night, East Forsyth. The Broncos bringing their rodeo over to South Forsyth High School as the War Eagles are going to host the Broncos in the season opening scrimmage. That's Friday night at 7:30. Yeah, it's about time, isn't it? The first Coach's Corner of the 2026 season is upon us, and we're going to bring it to you right now. We recorded it earlier today under the threat of thunder showers. We decided it'd be best if I didn't get out in that because of a couple of reasons, including my transportation needs. But Doug figured it would be just as well, since it's a scrimmage, to go ahead and do it this way. And I'm going to record them from Doug's phone into my editor. And then I'll splice out. I doubt that I'll have to do any edits because these guys get rolling and they're just terrific. And it's one thought after another and we're good to go. So let's get it started for you. Special guest today will be introduced right now by my friend and partner, Doug Thomas. So here we go with your Coach's Corner to kick off the 2026 season on ForsythSports365.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another podcast on ForsythSports365.com. It is August. It's a Wednesday, so you know what that means. It's time to start another Coach's Corner, and I have a room full of coaches, but it starts with the head man himself, Coach James Thompson. James, how you doing?
Hey, thanks, Doug. Greg, good to be back.
Yeah, fantastic. And also, just so you know, real quick, I am one of your hosts today. I just want to start with that. I'm one of your hosts, Doug Thomas. But anyway, Coach Ian Scott, you're new to the program. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Doug. Great to be here.
Fantastic. And the man that has ruined many of my Sundays with my Cincinnati Bengals watching Cordell Stewart go down the seam or on the outside scoring touchdowns, Cordell Stewart, welcome as well.
Thank you so much, brother, for being and having me here and hang out with you guys and talk some football.
That's right. Hey, and the reason I said I'm one of your hosts today and the reason I'm kicking it off is because on the phone with us, I have back finally the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that really runs it all. And he's back with us after his surgeries, his rehab, and he's got new wheels he's under and everything. Greg Golden is back with us. Greg, how are you doing?
Thank you so much, Doug. What an introduction. It's delightful to be back with you guys. And coaches, it's nice to have you all back on the corner again. It's great to be back here preparing for another season. Thanks so much for being here.
All right. What I want to do to get started, we want to talk to introduce Coach Ian Scott in a little bit, and we'll talk about the offense and stuff with Cordell. But Coach Thompson, let's talk with you and just kind of talk about what it has been like in the season, from the season ended, which we know seasons really don't end anymore. But the summer, you guys have done a lot of camps and everything, and what you've seen just kind of heading up until you got into pads just, what, about a week ago, a couple weeks ago?
Man, best summer of my career. We had, last year, think about all the chaos it was. It was my first year on the job. We couldn't get in the facility because they're redoing they had an HVAC. Getting replaced. Then they replaced the track so we couldn't get on the field. So we were going from park to park. So now to have a full year of being at home, actually coming in, kids having lockers and, having a place to meet, that was huge.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it had to make a big difference for you as well and everything. So talk about the camp. You guys attended, you went to some high-level camps this year. And I know you went to some, and then didn't you go to a padded camp too?
Well, it started with taking, in the winter or in the spring, taking kids to different colleges and stuff like that. So, our coaches did a good job there of getting them on campus at, UGA and, just whatever, South Carolina and different schools in the South, which I thought was really cool. And then, we hit all these certain camps in the summer. We got the FCA camp where you scrimmage probably another 11 teams that you get to kind of match up with and run some plays at. And then, we did OTAs at Buford again. And then I think we hit three different 7-on-7 tournaments. So it's been an exciting summer as far as on the field. And, we've really gotten better day by day.
That's fantastic. The one thing I would ask you and ask Cordell sitting here as well was there, I always like to see and hear names of guys that maybe from last year to this year, they just all of a sudden stood out. Do you have, you know, where all of a sudden you go, maybe that guy was something a little bit last year, and all of a sudden you could tell he's worked hard, stood out, and come out of the kind of like the woodwork this year. Do you talk a little bit about that? Any, if you have any players in specific as well, but just really the growth of the players and from last year to this year under your second year.
We've got the dependable kids that we know we can count on. And I think it starts with Watkins and his able to train or his ability to move from quarterback to receiver and take it in stride. And now he's one of the best receivers in this county, you know, like Carter Ross is that same way. But you talk about surprise players or players that are overachieving from what I thought they do. But Braden Hunt, our center, has been awesome. You know, newcomer Jack String's going to be a good player. Gabe Spencer there in the middle of, you know, at linebacker is going to be a good player for us. And, you know, now we got Aiden Howard at corner, and I'm excited to see what he can bring. You know, we know he's had potential. This year you'll get to see him play. So, I mean, and that's just rattling off a few. I know I'm leaving a lot off, but, man, I'm excited to see some of these kids.
Yeah, that is great. And, Cordell, when it comes to you being on the offensive side of the ball, obviously a lot of transition, as Coach just mentioned, Will Watkins going from quarterback last year to wide receiver. You have a brand-new quarterback in, young freshman. I'm going to let you guys pronounce his name because it's a doozy. So, Cordell, talk a little bit about the change in Will going to receiver and also about your young quarterback.
Oh, the young quarterback in Kiel, Samfong Talea. He's really good. I was going during the off season, you know, doing a lot of stuff, my normal off season stuff with appearances and things of that nature, and then finding out what we were able to acquire. He's a really good kid. I think in the 2029 class, he's one of the top recruits in the 2029 class. Will Watkins, as you alluded to, he's a true team player. He's just an athlete. You guys see him around school making plays, whether it's on a lacrosse team to our team, what he did last year, having to play the year before that, coming off the bench because of an injury for starter and sort of things he did to ignite the team. But holistically, I think that happens to a lot of kids on offense in particular. It's not about one guy. I just think collectively, because a lot of these kids are from the last season and hearing this offense and understanding what's expected of them from a standard standpoint, they've really done a great job of transitioning to becoming starters. Mm-hmm. I think the more reps we get with them, the more experiences we give them, the more tough situations we put them in, the more confidence is being built. But most importantly, the continuity within that group, along with some of the backups, it's really, really good. We don't want you guys to try to say, okay, that's such and such player. No, that's a player that can come in and fill in and do a really good, adequate job to allow us to go out and have success. So I just like everything that we have going on offense, with every guy stepping up, knowing that they've been in the system before, and bringing it together as a group and hopefully be a third of this team that can be really important in the progress of what we can do as a team.
Hey, Doug.
Thank you very much. That's very well said. Yeah, go ahead, Greg. Go.
Let me interject real quick because, Cordell, you're talking about the quarterback. I want to mention something about this kid that I think is a destiny a portrait of what's going to happen for the season, okay? But we'll get to that in just a second. You're talking about Will Watkins, and well, you should. This is a terrific kid, a senior. Coming up, he's been a leader. On every field that he's played on, he's one of the stars. Is he a captain? Have you got your captains yet?
Well, that's one thing, Coach. He's going to talk about that. I think it's still kind of they're still working through. But, Coach, real quick, talk about the captains. What's your? I know you're still in the process there.
We're going to talk to the kids about it and see, you know, if we do something like we did last year, where we rotate it, or do we have solidified guys? Mm-hmm. I think that the team, you know. And I think Watkins and Carter are guys that we know are leaders. And so we'll see what the team says, and we'll go from there.
Okay. All right. Well, wait, one more thing, Doug. Doug, hold on. I said I want to talk about Kael. Is it Kael? Is that how you pronounce it? Kael Samfong Talea.
Kael.
You notice what his middle name is. Samfong. What does that start with? SF.
So Kale is his first name.
Kale
Samfong is his mom's last name.
SF. Talia.
Greg, we were wondering where you're going.
I was sure wondering where you're going.
Oh, man.
I took a long time to get there, I know. But look, there it is right there in front of us. Gael SF Dahlia.
This is going to be, if you were running the tip of it, what's he talking about? But there you go. Yeah, his name's after South Forsyth. Maybe he's known too, but there you go.
It's destiny, that's man. It's good. Destiny.
That is. But I will tell you one thing. I've watched him. I mean, obviously not like you guys have, but man, just watching his technique and everything and just the throws that he can deliver. I mean, you see some of those sideline throws that get out there like a rocket. And, you know, those are tools that, I mean, obviously he's been taught, but you just have to have them too. And he's definitely got it.
He's the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Greg, mm-hmm. You said it again. He said it again, Doug.
Yeah.
Do you hear that?
I mean, I can tell you from experience, if you dropped him today, him as, you know, however old he is, 15, 16, whatever he is, if you dropped him today in an SEC quarterback room, I'm telling you, you're arguing that he's a star. He's that good. So you're saying because, I mean, his skill set and everything, you could drop him in a room and people not pay attention to his age, and they would think he's much older and much more mature than he really is.
Listen to this statement, because this is something that, I mean, it
sounds like I'm exaggerating, but I'm telling you, if you drop this kid in a quarterback room in an SEC conference, the debate now is whether you're going to start him or not. Mm-hmm. He's that good.
Well, that's exciting, and we look forward to hearing that. Cordell, real quick, what have you, when you look at the team from last year at this stage versus this year, what would you say about the differences? Are they head over heels above last year? Are they right on where you expect them to be, or have you seen the growth that you're looking for?
I think it's the growth that we're looking for is more important. Once you've heard something once and you have a chance to repeat it again, and you've seen yourself have some success, I think kids come back with a little bit more confidence. Respectfully to the last group, the senior group that left mm-hmm. us, they're on the back end of their high school careers. Mm-hmm. And to get them to buy in as fast as we would have liked to, which they really did, they wasn't really given an opportunity to do it again. Just imagine we had that group back again with Kale and Davis at tight end to come back and do this one more time. The expectations would be high. It wouldn't be us having to repeat ourselves over and over again about alignments and assignments and things of that nature. But I think with this group that were juniors last year that are now seniors, they're able to lead the right way. And they really want to get better from the standpoint of saying, because I've heard this before, I feel confident. Mm-hmm. Give us more, coach. You know, so they've been able to retain this information really, really, really well and be able to put it out in a way that allows you to be able to see players make really good plays and be technically sound. Mm-hmm. Because per capita, let's be transparent, we have very good kids that are very smart and gives a tremendous amount of effort. Do we have standout players per se when it comes to the linemen, the linemen, the receivers, maybe the quarterback position? We have a few guys mm-hmm. that we feel that way about, but when you put them on the depth chart of players in this region in the state, you know, we have a few kids that we trust can do it, but I think collectively as a group, we're so sound in what we're trying to accomplish. It makes us feel really good going into this space. So I think we're better with numbers than we are with one player,
yeah,
which I like 10 times better than the other way around.
I like that too. And, you know, so basically what you're saying is when you look at this team, I mean, it's technique and it's effort and everything, because it's not the 275, 280-pound kids across that line. It's the kids that are 230-pound kids, 240-pound kids, but with better technique, better effort, and everything else, which – is that what you think?
That's what I know.
Yeah.
And that's what you'll end up seeing.
Yeah.
So you win better with numbers
mm-hmm.
yeah. When it comes to a sport like football.
Right.
And when you're depending on just one guy, it's impossible.
Impossible.
It's only because you have too many kids to bring up to that level.
Well, plus, if you're depending on one guy, then that one guy also puts too much pressure on himself, too, thinking he's got to take it all on himself. And then you end up doing things you're not supposed to do. Coach Thompson, real quick. Just tell me what's your expectations for getting on this week. For me, I know it'd be like, oh, get out on the field, line up correctly, do all the basic thing. But what's your expectations against the game against East Forsyth, being the first scrimmage?
Yeah, just execution, just the plays that we have, just make sure that we're in the right spots, doing the right thing. Whether we execute that play or not is not really the concern in this kind of setting. What it is, can we understand our mistake and can we get it corrected? Mm-hmm. You don't want chaos. You don't want those kind of stuff. And that's what you look for out of scrimmages, is kind of come out healthy, one, and make sure that you have a way to fix the issues that you see. Hopefully we don't have many issues. Yeah.
Well, Tino, also, it's a scrimmage game for the coaches too. You guys got to make sure that your equipment works correctly, that, you know, you're down and back to the field, getting play calls and everything. So it's a scrimmage for everybody. So appreciate that. You know, I'm sitting here looking at it, and I'm getting ready to introduce Coach Ian Scott, that we just did talk about him a little bit. But you and I are sitting around a lot of NFL here. You know that? I mean, these two guys have been in the Super Bowl. I've been in the stands at a Super Bowl, but these guys have played in Super Bowl games. So, I mean, what's it like coaching with guys like this?
And I don't belong here, right? Like, if I'm sitting here, I'm not the one that belongs. So it's humbling, man. And again, a testament to, so yeah, playing, right? That's one chapter of both of their lives. Cordell is an unbelievable coach. And if you ask me, and I'll tell anybody the same statement, and people have asked me, he should be a college head coach. He should be a college head coach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's Cordell Stewart. And then you look at Ian Scott. His coaching resume has been in college, has been in the NFL. He shouldn't be here either, right? So we're dealing right now, we're on borrowed time with these two guys. And the thing that we have to really make sure as a community, as a program, is how thankful we are that they've joined and are here with us. And given the time that they do, I mean, you guys don't see, they're out here cleaning up, painting tables. We're doing things to try to help this community get better. And, you know, like I said, it's really just humbling to see it.
Oh, I've seen Cordell out with the blower blowing everything around and everything. No, it shows you that they're about this school and everything. And so that's exciting. All right, Coach Ian Scott, I'm so glad you're here. And I want to let everybody let them know you a little bit. And I did some digging myself, so hopefully I'm not wrong on anything. If I am, just, you know, correct me. But obviously, Gainesville High School in Florida. Graduated in 2000. Coach, did you know how smart of a man this you have with him? He was the valedictorian of his class. And then the one thing I thought of when I was going to look things up, I'm just going to find all football, but you played basketball too. You played on two high school state basketball championships. Mm-hmm. And so before I go even any further, talk about your separation between football and basketball. Did one help the other, or did you just love all sports?
I mean, I believe in, you know, doing everything you can, what you love. I started playing soccer, and the only reason I didn't play in high school is because it was the same time as basketball, and all my best friends played basketball. So, you know, I went from one thing to the next and very little breaks, and but it helped me to stay focused and be organized, and it. Yeah, everything, you develop different skills in the different sports, and there are carryovers, and it just, to me, it makes you a better, well-rounded athlete. So I enjoyed that when I was younger, and, you know, can't do that anymore, but it was fun at one point.
Well, that's exciting. And then you went, they're in Gainesville, Florida, and then you end up going to the University of Florida, Florida Gators. And like I said, don't ignore that. I'm talking to a Michigan guy. Now, granted, I am an Ohio State person, but still. Anyway, so Florida Gators, head coaches Steve Spurrier and Ron Zook. I really would love to ask, what was it like playing for Steve Spurrier?
Spurrier is a lot of fun, especially a defensive guy, because as long as you did your job, he kind of lets you do your thing. Probably a little tougher on those offensive guys, especially the stories that I've heard from some of my friends over there on that side of the ball. But the one thing about Spurrier that I always appreciated was, you know, he just told you the truth. He was honest right from the very beginning. Told me when I came on my official visit that he thought I would be a better center than a defensive lineman. And I played both ways as a freshman until the defensive line coach was like, I can't have him playing both ways anymore. I need him over here because we're short on depth. So, but he's the only person that ever told me that to my face. In fact, Urban Meyer told me later, after he was recruiting me at Notre Dame, that their whole plan was for me to be a center when I got to Notre Dame, but they didn't tell me that ahead of time. But so it's just, you know, something that I appreciated from him, something that probably a lot of people don't realize if you look at him from the outside, especially back then in the 90s, some of his reputation on the outside was, of kind of wild and crazy, but he was very intentional about what he did.
Yeah, I mean, when you see all the interviews and everything with Spur, from the outside in, you wonder what it's like. So that I just had to ask that question. But obviously the decision of your defensive coach for you to play defense, it worked well because you were then drafted in the fourth round by the Chicago Bears. And what was that like on that day? Where were you at? And, obviously during the draft, and what was, and who was with you, and like just hearing your name called?
I was with my family. With my new wife, Crystal, of about 2 weeks, and my parents and her parents. And actually, at that time, it was a little disappointing because there were several other defensive linemen that were drafted ahead of me that I felt like I was as talented as, if not more so. Definitely had felt some of that, but you get an opportunity to get drafted and by the Bears, a historic franchise in the NFL, which was great. And then I actually got to, be teammates with this guy as a rookie, which was awesome because, he was somebody I played with on the video game all the time and watched when he was playing the Super Bowl as a rookie, and got to be able to be teammates with him, which was really cool.
Yeah. And then, as we talked about, I mean, we know Cordell, his rookie year was in the Super Bowl, and then you were in the Super Bowl in 2007, so what? Just, what a great experience that had to be and everything. I mean, Coach Thompson mentioned about, how lucky we are to have both you guys here because of your careers. I mean, you coached at Florida University, then Central Florida, Central Michigan, and then you made your way. And of course, you're in the NFL, played with Bears, Eagles, Panthers and Chargers. And, what was it like then? You made your way back to high school. So I want to talk a little bit about what brought you back to high school, but also what that feeling was like going and now becoming, when you became the head coach of Gainesville High School, where you played and dominated.
Well, it's something that I had wanted to do, was be able to have the opportunity to set the direction. Being in the coaching world, there's all different pathways to it, and different roles. And I wanted to have that experience to see what that's like to set the, set the pulse for a place. And obviously being able to go back to my high school and give back to the community that had given me so much was something that I was truly honored to do. And, a great family experience. My parents still live in town, and my in-laws, my wife's parents live in town as well. And I have two kids that were able to graduate from there and are at UF now. And, my oldest daughter, she's in Orlando back at UCF. So another place where we were as a family. So it was a special time, and something that I had hoped that, would have been longer, just for a lot of different reasons. Didn't work out to be as long as I wanted, but I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I tell you what, I can thank you very much, and I can tell you we're happy you're here. And I know we're kind of running short on time. You guys, school starts tomorrow, and you guys have things you got to do. But real quick then, too, what brought you to South Forsyth High School? Had you heard about South Forsyth High School before this, or?
No, so it's... There's a lot of different directions to this story, but, Coach Thompson coached at Gainesville High School. That's where I first heard about him. And then he was the recruiting guy at South Florida when I came back as the head coach. And we connected there really for the first time in person. And we've stayed in contact. And my oldest son, who just graduated, was looking to go to Georgia Tech or Kennesaw State possibly. So I had started looking for jobs because we couldn't afford out-of-state tuition. If he decided to go to one of those schools. And so Coach Thompson called me up and was like, hey, are you looking to move? And I said, well, I was thinking about it. I was like, but I didn't reach out to you because, when I saw him get hired, because I had texted him congratulations the year before, all I saw was Forsyth, which for me was near Macon, where I'd driven through, when I used to live in Clemson, and I used to cut through in the back roads. And I was like, you know, I don't have family around there, but I have a bunch of family around here. So he explained to me about the environment. All my aunts live over in Lawrenceville, which is about 15, 20 minutes away. My brother lives over in on the other side of town in Kennesaw, and I got a bunch of cousins and everything that live around the area. So it was a great opportunity for me to be able to be with some great people. Obviously, been awesome being able to reconnect with Cordell here as well. So I'm just excited to be around a place that, you know, is trying to, you know, really invest in the kids, because to me that's what this high school level is about. It's about the kids and about giving back and you know, helping them to be able to see their dreams come true.
Yeah, that is, you know, it's amazing that that you you said that too, because I know from my initial conversation with Cordell, he said the same thing about how it's giving back. And Coach Thompson, I got to say something, kind of like my whole work career, I always based myself on trying to surround myself with the best quality people to make me look better, make me look good. You obviously are an expert.
I'm not the smartest one in this room, that's for sure. So. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just fun to be around these guys. And I think that that's something that maybe in high school coaching, you know, there's a lot of coaches that maybe they have to be the smartest one, or they don't mean, they get intimidated, maybe. I don't know. But I enjoy it, man. I learn more from Ian and Cordell every day. So, you know, when this is all over, you know, whenever that is, like, you know, I had to learn a lot from them. So, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. And then, Coach Scott, let's just real quick, before we close, and just so you know, we do this every Wednesday, so we'll be doing this a lot more. Okay. But talk a little about the defense. Talk about what you've seen so far. What?
Can I jump in right here while you're going to talk about the defense? Because that's exactly, I wanted to ask you, Coach, what position in basketball did you play? Were you a five? You sound like a five.
Yes, I was a five.
Five and a banger.
Not a lot of other positions for a 300-pound basketball court.
So you know how you may take up the space. You know how to set your position. And then you took that to your defensive line. The key to my question here then is that versatility. You're going to bring that as a coach to these kids who need that, because they're not all 6'5", 6'8", kids. They're going to need those kind of skills to blend it into the defensive line. So as part of your defensive coaching philosophy, are we going to see that this year?
Yeah, we try to put our athletes in the best position for them to be able to make plays, just like the offense does. If we can get them where they can play fast and physical and not have to think a lot and be able to use their talents, then we'll be more successful that way.
And the guys who can... The guys who can... make it happen are the ones you're looking for.
Yes.
Right. So talk a little bit, Coach, then, about the defense, what you've seen so far, the things you like, things that you think, hey, we still have a lot of work to do, but just your first initial thoughts.
We've got a really lot of talented football players. What we like to see is those guys being able to play, you know, with their feet in the ground when the ball is snapped and understand what they are doing so that they're more making the offense react to what they're doing. Obviously, it's difficult to practice with our offense. You know, they create a lot of challenges for a defense and make it difficult. So if we can get them to understand that and be able to communicate through everything that they see in practice every day, then hopefully the game slows down for them and it becomes easier. But you know, just the effort and attitude of the kids, they want to be coached, you know, they want to know how they can do better and, you know, just to be able to be a part of the team. And, you love to see those types of things. So I can't wait to see these guys play.
And plus, you know, the fact when you're playing against an offense that is fast paced, slinging the ball everywhere, and you never know what's coming, that helps that defense on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, the communication that we have to do on a daily basis just to get through practice is a really high level. And you're not going to see that every Friday on a high school football field. So that's what I said. If we can handle that and be in the right place and execute our jobs at that level to make it through practice, then that should make us better in the game. I mean, that always helped me out as a player. I mean, one of the best things was, you know, I play against old recruits every day in practice. So when I got in the games, it slowed down for me, because if I could, you know, at least hold my own in practice, dude. You know, I could do stuff in the game. So that's what's great. You know, they're facing the quarterback that, like Coach said, is a high-level processor and, you know, a lot of shifts and motions, whatever that looks like. Communication on the defense is you know, paramount when you're facing something like that. And so the more we get used to that, the better that'll make us on Fridays.
Well, I tell you what, we look forward to seeing that. We look forward to seeing, you know, Cordell's, you know, exciting offense and everything. And I know you guys got to run because you got things to do. So before we close out, Coach, maybe just give a real quick of what to expect Friday, not from the team, but just how the game goes. I know it's a scrimmage. So what things are not normal? And then you said something about the freshman might be playing. So maybe talk a little bit about that real quick.
Yep, we got – so the freshman will take the fourth quarter. We're not the freshmen. Excuse me. Freshmen are not playing. It's the JV, the younger guys that will have that fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. The special teams will be off. We're going to go through the motions there just to make sure we can line up correctly.
And do the kicks and everything. Just no tackling or anything.
Correct. And then quarterbacks aren't live. So you will see it's a scrimmage, and we're going to treat it exactly like what it is. It's a scrimmage. And it's a chance for us to find our issues. And again, to go back to what we talked about earlier, it's like, that's what this is about. Let's find what our problems are and get fixed.
Okay. And so the quarterbacks then said they'll have probably a green jersey on or something. And so they basically a touch and they're down. Is that what it'll be? Or
if they breathe on my quarterback, right? I'm going to see if they can get ejected. So that's what's going to happen.
And I'm assuming the same thing on the east side of the ball. I mean, in the past, we played some scrimmage where they had a running quarterback and they want him to hit it, but that's good. All right. So we'll have abbreviated there. Guys, thank you so much. This is awesome. It's a great start to the first Coach's Corner. And I know we're going to have a lot more of them. And every Wednesday we'll do this and talk about, you know, the recaps, the game we just played and the prep for the next one. Of course, there's a bye next week. So, but we'll get it in. All right. Well, for myself and my partner, Greg Golden, and the head coach, Coach Thompson, and Cordell Stewart, Mr. Slash, and the new coach, Mr. Ian Scott. We're so glad to be here on another podcast at ForsythSports365.com in the Fieldhouse. And Greg and Todd Spencer will be live on Friday night. They'll be on at 7 o'clock to kick the game off at 7:30. Hopefully we don't have any rain. And just looking forward to a good game, execution, and more importantly, come out of it injury-free. With that said, guys, we'll have a great rest of the week. Hopefully you don't get any rain today for practice. And we'll talk to you soon.
And there you have it. Thank you very much, Doug, hanging out on the Coach's Corner today with the head coach of the South Forsyth War Eagles, James Thompson. His offensive coordinator, a guy named Cordell Stewart, you might know him as Slash. He's back for his second season, the former Pittsburgh Steeler and Colorado Buffalo great. The All-American, All-Pro, did it all, and is trying to bring that attitude here to South Forsyth. Ian Scott, former Florida Gator. I think he lost to the Wolverines in a bowl game on one of his teams. I'm not sure about that. We can look it up. But the former high school basketball center went on to be a draft choice of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he and Coach Cordell played together, as he mentioned, in his rookie season. How blessed are we to have two former NFL players like this, one on offense, one on defense, making it happen here at South Forsyth High School. If only they could bring some grow pills. You can't just teach kids to get bigger. And that's what South Forsyth needs, is an injection of Captain America serum. Coming up Friday night, we've got some football for you. It's our first chance to have a look at the new South Forsyth quarterback, Kyle Sampong-Kalia. Is his name, and everybody calls him Kyle because it's too hard to remember the rest of it all at once, I think. But think about it now, and this is what I said during the interview. You heard me try to pull this off. I'm not sure they all got into it. It took them a little while anyway to get to this point, but Kyle Sampong-Kalia, okay? That's K-S-F-T. Kyle S-F Kalia, SF, South Forsyth. Get it? Kyle South Forsyth Talia. It's right in the middle of his name. It's destiny. Coach said it again during the interview. He said he's the best he ever seen. So come out Friday night to South Forsyth at War Eagle Stadium, the corner of
Peachtree Parkway and Ronald Reagan Boulevard. And watch this kid light it up. It's going to be three quarters for sure. I guess the JV might get a chance to play in the fourth. And there will be no returns. They'll be doing the kicking drills and lining up for kicks and whatnot, going through the motions, but no returns. So nobody's going to get hurt in that aspect. We hope everybody stays healthy. East Forsyth coming over for the third straight season. They're going to meet South Forsyth in their opening scrimmage. I think that's terrific. East is a 5A now, and they're in a loaded region on their own end. So this will tell a little bit about both these teams. You need to come out and see it. I'll be on the call with my partner, Todd Spencer. His son, of course, Gabe Spencer, wearing number 8 again, I hope. We can identify him quickly that way. He'll be in at a linebacker. He's a junior this year. And, we're looking forward to seeing him step up and try to make a difference with everybody else that was mentioned during our podcast. So join me and Todd. Doug will be in the booth upstairs doing his magic with the field microphone. And that's what he does, man. Doug's the stadium voice of the War Eagles and also the game day coordinator. So all the new stuff, all the stuff you hear coming through the scoreboard, all the pictures on the scoreboard, all coordinated by Doug. He does a great job with it. So come on out. If you can't make it, we'll have it for you right here on Forsyth Sports 365, 7 p.m. Tune it in. And let me just drop this in right here. Only four home games this year. Six on the road. And that means if you want that extra home game, you got to come out to the scrimmage Friday night. It's the only way to get the atmosphere of the home game this year. Next year, we'll have six home games and four road games. So that'll be sweet. If I'm still alive next year, we'll all have a big time with that. 7 p.m. Friday night, we'll see you then on ForsythSports365.com.